Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
What's so important about the drive home after a game? This is Lisa Cohn. Today I'm here with my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn, and Brian Gardner, program coordinator of student involvement at Maryville University. Brian's a youth ice hockey coach who has lots to say about the drive home.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Brian, can you first tell me a little bit about yourself? You've taken some of your teams to the national championships, correct?
Actually, I have one team, and hopefully the team that I'm currently coaching right now. I've been coaching youth ice hockey here in the St. Louis area for about 9 or 10 seasons at this point in time for the Afton Americans Hockey Club. And we have gone to the national championships once back in 1998, and the team that I'm currently coaching, a team of 15 and 16-year-olds, we are in the middle of postseason play as we speak, getting ready to play in a couple of weeks for the state championship, which then puts us in a position to go to the national championships.
Wow, congratulations. And as I understand it, the kids who did go to the national championships in the past were 11 years old?
That team was a team of 11 and 12-year-olds, correct, yeah.
Great. Now, you mentioned to me that you've seen your coaching undone by parents during the drive home after a game.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. In St. Louis, at least, the ice time is pretty limited. We, if we're lucky, we get 2 to 3 hours of practice time a week with our players, but a lot of times it really translates into more like 1 hour, 1 to 1.5 hours of ice time a week. So we need to do the best that we can with our players during that time frame. What we have seen as sort of a setback to that short amount of ice time that we have is that drive home factor. Our players live anywhere from 5 minutes away from the rink to, this year I've got a player who lives 1.5 hours away from the rink. And so that's a lot of time to be in the car with mom and dad alone, for mom and dad to have an opportunity to give their own coaching tips, which a lot of times go against what it is that we are putting, the systems that we're putting in for our team. A lot of times it's because the parents are thinking more about their kids than they are the team, which is understandable, but that can be, as you can imagine, very frustrating.
Now, can you be more specific about what it is that they do that's so harmful?
Mm-hmm,
the kind of
sure.
things that they say?
Well, at the least harmful level, it's probably things where they may second guess some of the systems we might put into place, say a power play system or an offensive zone system, where they may say, you know, really, little Johnny, you should be doing this, not what your coach tells you to do. On a more harmful level, it could be as drastic as I've coached players in the past who have had some emotionally abusive parents who the whole ride home just tell them how bad of a hockey player they are, how they're really not going to amount to anything in hockey, and probably ought to consider giving up, those kinds of things. And the ironic thing is that the only times that I've seen that in my coaching career has been with some of my best players. And it's just one of those situations where they just can't do enough for their mom or for their dad. But those cases, thankfully, have been fewer than the other cases of really just kind of the parents doing what they think is the best form of coaching and telling their son or daughter what it is that they should think they should be doing versus what the coaches are telling them to do.
Now, all of the issues that you just brought up we address in our workbook because they're really important. Patrick, can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, I think they're really important issues. You know, and I talk about the same thing in terms of, you know, the mental coaching aspect, it can be undone by parents as well, not necessarily on the drive home, but it can be undone because I try to get, for example, my students to throw away expectations that pressure them, and then what happens is parents will often put expectations on them in a roundabout way. But, you know, I think parents sometimes feel like that they're motivating their kids in some way when they're berating them and telling them you know, that they didn't have a good game and that they're not going to amount to anything. But really, they're not doing a good job in terms of the motivation. And I don't know if parents are genuinely trying to, you know, be harmful with their kids. I think sometimes they get emotional and they want the best for their kids, and they feel like a good tongue lashing is going to help spur them on to more things. And we know it doesn't, because it just puts more pressure on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, Brian's first issue about just second-guessing the coach and saying, well, you shouldn't do what your coach says. You should do this instead. I see that a lot. And I think, again, it's very well-intentioned. The parents think that they're helping, but they don't understand that they're really doing a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a team effort. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for a sport like hockey that is so systematic and team-based.
Yeah, and what do you do? Is there anything you do to diffuse that in terms of giving handouts to the parents or having meetings with the parents, or do you just address it, you know, with your athletes?
Well, I've done several different things based on the, I guess, the severity of the situation. One of the most basic things that we do every year is we'll sit down with the parents and have a parent meeting at the beginning of the season, and that's in an effort to get everybody on the same page, to sort of win the parents over at a respect level so that they can understand where myself and the rest of the coaching staff are coming from in our experiences and what our hopes are for the season and that sort of thing. And so a lot of that is sort of deterred by getting the parents on the same page and gaining their respect early on in the season. Now, when we do see things going on throughout the season, we have talked to parents directly, where we might pull them aside and say, listen, Johnny is telling us that he's confused because you're telling him one sort of power play while we're trying to do another sort of power play, for example. We'd really appreciate it if you just kind of left the drive home for talking about school as opposed to hockey or whatever it might be. And a lot of the parents have been really receptive to those conversations. And then at other times we've had to have obviously delicate conversations with the players, because you don't want to, you know, we don't want to go in and undermine the players' parents. But there are times that we need to talk directly to the parent, to the player, and say, listen, this is what we need you to do to be a part of this team. And that's what's most important, is what we're asking you to do to be a part of this team, and that's what you need to understand. So
you don't directly say, don't listen to your parents.
No, that wouldn't get us anywhere on a lot of fronts. Yeah.
Well, we actually, in our workbook, give parents very specific instructions about what they're supposed to do before and after a game. And I have to say, as a sports parent who's made a lot of mistakes, this stuff, you know, it doesn't come easily. It's not doing the things that we suggest that you do is not something that you would naturally think of doing.
Yeah, and you know, I've had some pretty unique experiences. I coached my brothers for a few different seasons, and so I was dealing with one of the sports parents being my mother and my father, and talking and having some very interesting conversations. It's you'd be surprised when a parent has direct access to a coach like my mom had to me. But I was able to learn a lot about what it meant to be a sports parent by talking to my mom about it and helping her realize, you know, she, for example, she thought that my brother was more upset about his ice time at one season. And he came home crying. This was the season that we went to the national championships. I was coaching my brother. And he came home crying one day, and she thought that he was upset that he wasn't getting enough ice time. Well, little did she realize he was crying because he was so excited that we were going to the national championships. And he didn't think anything about anything but the fact that we were going to the national championships. And so I tried to talk to her about, you know, be supportive, tell, you know, build him up and tell him that he's playing great hockey, and then let us do the coaching, and you'll see a lot more of an effect out of him. And she did that and saw that result and saw that he was having a great time and learning a lot about hockey. And actually, we just over the weekend went and watched his final home game for Lindenwood University. He's playing college hockey now. So, you know, he had a little bit of a future ahead of him as well in hockey, and it had a lot to do with the support that my parents gave him.
Well, that's great. And again, parents don't always know what to do, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
they they will respond if you say do this.
Absolutely. That's why I say it. I've had some very receptive, very open conversations with parents throughout my career who didn't realize that they were doing something, who didn't realize that it was as detrimental as they thought it was to have those conversations with their son on the way home. And some parents who have even approached me and said, I feel like I need to do more, but I don't know what to do. Can you help me?
Right. Now, Patrick, can you give us just one or two after-game tips? And I know we include these in our workbook.
Yeah, one of the things that we talk about in our workbook is to have parents be very supportive and always mention one or two things before they mention anything. Reinforce one or two things that the player is doing well on the ice during the game. And try to avoid what's called the constructive criticism. You know, why'd you pass the puck, you know, on the breakaway when you had the open shot? You know, those type of things, those why questions. And you know, as Brian's talking about, and, you know, leave the coaching for the coaches, but be, if it's a game of confidence, which it is really, you want to support the child with what they're doing well. In order to build up their confidence or at least be neutral about it, you want to talk about those things that they're accomplished. Even if they lost the game, if the team lost the game, you want to approach it as a perspective of you did well in this game. Rather than mentioning those things which they did wrong in the game, which only serves to cause them to dwell on them even more.
And the other thing that parents do, and I know I do this even with my 8-year-old, is the game's over and you're in the car and you want to talk about it and the kid is done.
Yeah.
Like my daughter, I'll say, oh, I loved it when so-and-so passed to you, and then there was a goal, and she'll say, what are we going to do next? and you have to kind of pick up their cues and realize that even though you're still interested in the game, they're kind of done playing it.
Yeah, my mom was notorious for wanting to know, thankfully seasons that I wasn't the coach, wanting to know everything that the coach had to say in the locker room. So what'd the coach say to you, Gary? What'd the coach say? And he never, ever, ever wanted to talk about it.
That's right. That they don't really want to talk about that stuff. They're usually just done. Well, Brian, you have been a wonderful guest, and we'd like to have you back because I know you have some other topics that we could discuss with you.
Well, you say the date and time, and I'll be there.
Okay, great. And thank you, Patrick. Thanks to both
of you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Be sure to visit youthsportpsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportpsychology.com.